All right, it's Blammo Extra and our last episode of the year. Ooh, we did it. It's our year-end review episode with none other than Mr. Derek Guy, the dye workwear king himself. Is that even a thing, a dye workwear king? Whatever. But I want to say this is all about lists. We talked about year-end lists, and I am just a sucker for every single year-end list. I read them all like crazy, whether it's records or movies or food or wine or watches or any of that stuff. I'm into it, and we got into it. We talked about what we liked, what we didn't like, what we bought, but more importantly, what we didn't even realize that we bought, and the evolution of tailored clothing. Last but not least, Derek discusses what he calls book core style, which you'll have to hear for yourself. It's pretty gnarly. This was a wild chat, and we discuss what luxury has evolved to, from food to clothes to crappy customer service experiences. It's a good old Blammo Extra. Happy holidays. Here we go. Well, happy holidays, fellas.
Happy holidays.
Well, Rob's going to kick us off, but this is basically kind of a bit of an end of the year wrap, talking about a lot of different things that's kind of happened this season. I know that, like, we're not, or at least I'm not, like, a trend report, but I swear to God, so many people want to know, like, summaries. I, for one, absolutely love year-end lists, and I will read any and every year-end list, even from people I don't even like, because I just want to know about their year.
Yeah, so we had a thread in the community, and it was John's idea about just everybody talk about, like, the kind of thing they picked up this year that was, like, the most meaningful or their favorite thing and why. And it was actually really remarkable how few clothes were in the conversation. So it kind of made me, like, because I had a cooktop that I bought that I really love. Jeremy, you have a coffee maker. I mean, Derek, what would be your, like, kind of favorite thing that you bought?
I figured this question was going to come up, and I actually don't have a very good answer. My answers are really boring and domestic. And one of them wasn't even bought this year. I bought it last fall, I think, or maybe it might have been last summer, but it's a bird feeder. I bought a Yankee, I think it's the company's called Yankee Doodle. I bought a bird feeder, and that has been amazing for me. I really love feeding birds, and I like bringing them to my backyard.
Is this the selfie bird feeder thing?
What's the selfie? Self-feed or selfie?
No. Selfie. Like S-E-L-F-I-E.
Like a selfie stick. No, what is that?
It's a bird feeder. Derek, this is actually kind of cool, and this is what I thought it was. It's a bird feeder that when a bird gets near it, it takes a photo of it, and then it texts you. And so then you know, like, you get, like, these great photos, like, very candid photos of birds just, like,
that's,
you know,
awesome,
munching on seeds. It's actually really, what is that, cool.
What is that what's the company that makes it?
The Bird Buddy, is that it? My Bird Buddy.
I think it's something. Yeah.
Oh,
smart.
No. Oh.
Yeah, it's the Bird Buddy. It aims. Yeah, this is what it is. I mean, it's just, it's basically like a Nest doorbell that is built into a bird feeder. And so, you know, it's proximity triggered.
Yeah. There are constantly birds around my bird feeder, though. So I assume I would just be getting, like, a barrage of texts because it's like constant now. I have, like, maybe about 12 mourning doves that come to my bird feeder and just tons of chickadees. So that has been a small oasis of happiness in my life, is that bird feeder. And I also bought a Kindle this past summer, which I feel slightly guilty about because I know everyone's like, you know, preserve books and all that. But I really like my Kindle. I like not having to buy a physical book every time I want to read a book, because I don't always want to store a book in my home. Because once you get, like, a lot of books, it takes up a lot of space. So I bought a Kindle, and I like taking that with me when I go out. Sometimes I have time to kill, I'll read a few pages in a book.
I guess that seemed to be the rough consensus of the Slack community, at least the people who answered that question. And I do kind of wonder, what does that mean? Because it's not like I have slowed down in buying clothes, even as I kind of pursue these other interests. I mean, does that kind of suggest that the pleasure we get from clothes isn't, I mean, I guess what does that suggest about the pleasure we get from clothes? Anything come to mind?
Well, I still really like, this past summer, Taylor started returning to the city for trunk shows, and I commissioned some new suits. I still really like wearing tailored clothing. And it just, you know, well, for if you go to Taylor's, it takes a year or two for the order to be completed if you're going through a traveling trunk show. So I'm mainly just wearing clothes that I've owned for a while, and still go out to dinner and, you know, still wear tailored clothing for dinner and whatnot. It's just not my immediate purchases for this year.
So on that note, and this is the thing, I don't think you're lying, first off, I'll be clear, but I'm going to gently call bullshit because I think there are some things that all of us have been buying that we don't even realize that have shaped basically kind of like this past year and like our looks. Because, I mean, Derek, and you nailed it when you were discussing kind of like the Yeehaw world, when you were talking about the new rise of tailoring. So you've been ordering stuff. Like, what tailors have you tried? Did Sartoria Korkos come out to where you're at?
No, I tried to get him out to San Francisco, but he is all booked. It's hard to even get on. You have to sign up for a waiting list, essentially, to become a client. And I made it to the be a client kind of stage, but I would have to fly to New York to see him, and I wasn't going to fly to New York for fittings.
Yeah, because he was there the other week.
Yeah, I mean, if he was going to fly to San Francisco, I would definitely use him. I think his work looks great. But yeah, I agree. There are some clothing things that I bought that have kind of shaped my clothing interests. I guess the one that probably defines it for me and is probably the corniest would probably be a pair of cowboy boots. I still wear cowboy boots. I mean, I talked to you guys just a couple months ago. But yeah, I wear cowboy boots with chamola jeans, and I often wear a Capital denim Western shirt with tweed sport coats. I bought a couple of Ranger belts. So,
oh damn, yeah, you're like you're full Richard Gere. Or no, that's not a lie. You're Robert Redford. That's what you are.
Yeah, I'd like to think so, but probably not. But yeah, it's been enjoyable to wear. I mean, it basically stretches across my casual wear and some of my tailored clothing. I mean, the nice thing about wearing a denim Western shirt is that you don't have to iron it. So that has been nice, because I don't always want to iron a shirt if I'm only going out for like a couple of hours. Whereas before, like if you're going out for the whole day, then of course you just need to iron a shirt. But if you're going out just for dinner or, you know, just for a few hours for errands, at least I don't always want to iron a shirt. So I just throw on a denim Western shirt, which both is made from a heavier fabric, so it rumples more than it crinkles. And two, it's fine if it's kind of wrinkled. It doesn't have to be this like super pressed thing. And I like the way that looks with tweed sport coats and the way it dresses down tailoring. That's been nice.
Yeah, I have found myself, I think one thing that's happened this year is like in my process of like trying to purge clothes that I owned, I rediscovered stuff that I'm now wearing more than ever. And a lot of it is like old denim shirts. Like I have a very, I mean, it's 13 years old or so now, EG Chambray shirt. I'm literally wearing it right now as we're recording. Like, and I have worn that with tweed jackets. I've worn it with like gray flannels. It has like, you know, given new life to all my tailoring. And it's a shirt that I was about to get rid of because I was like, I don't wear this ever. And I'm like, oh, wait a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that thing where you almost sell an item and then you write the description and you're like, never mind, this thing is too good?
I don't know if you're looking on video, but everything back there is the exact problem right now.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's like I will be in the process of selling something and I'll list on eBay or something, but then I write the description. I'm like, actually, this is really good, and I just sold myself on this item. It's
I can believe. Well, I mean, I think you are a talented writer.
Thank you.
Yeah, actually, I've done exactly that. In fact, there's a shirt. It's a 316 shirt. It's the Asanoa print one from 5 or 6 years ago. And I was like, okay, I haven't really read it in a while, worn it in a while. And then, it started trying to describe what I thought made it stand apart to kind of appeal to other people. And then I'm like, you know what?
Actually, this thing's awesome and I'm going to keep it.
I think that's totally legit. I have, especially in terms of outerwear, I just accumulate a lot of outerwear just because I love outerwear so much. But it takes up a huge amount of space, right? So I do, one of my approaches is if I haven't worn in a while, I'll just put it on, wear it out for the day and just see if I kind of, what's in my memory kind of matches my experience of it. And honestly, sometimes it's better. Sometimes it's the magic is gone, whatever. So I think that makes sense to me. I think it's a healthy approach.
I mean, I think this is more the thing to discuss over anything. It's the fact that, I think all of us have had a bit of eureka moments or rediscovery of things. I mean, for me, I definitely got back into tailored clothing, but in a way that's far less fussy, in the sense that I'm wearing, the Debone Facture easy pants with a navy hopsack jacket, and the shirt that I'm wearing, I'm not ironing. And I'm wearing it's just all very frumpy, for lack of a better term. And I stopped wearing Aldens and penny loafers and Chukkas because I was I'm never comfortable, and it's stupid that I even own all these. And I'm just fine. And I just wear Reeboks and Mephistos and Nikes. And I'm just I'm just done. I'm going to go full Ralph Lauren and just be fuck it. I'm not going to wear any of these shoes that are too uncomfortable anymore. And I think maybe the age I'm at now, I've just I've really started to embrace this comfort thing, but wearing more tailoring with it.
I've been thinking that a lot of people dress like the people that I see who routinely attend bookstore talks. I see the quote unquote cool people online. And I say this as someone who both dresses like that and aspires to dress like that. I'm a little iffy about naming people because I don't want them to think that this is an insult. It's not. It's something that I think genuinely looks cool and something, again, that I both wear and aspire to. But when I see the cool people online and how they dress, they look almost indistinguishable from the type of person who routinely goes to a bookstore talk and reads anthropology books, knows a lot about Tibetan pottery or something. It's always this mishmash of Western wear, frumpy tailoring. I don't know how to describe the look, but it's very...
It's like someone who reads Dye Workwear.
Or writes Dye Workwear, actually.
Yeah. It's a very strange thing that I've noticed online. This kind of book core look.
Book core.
Book core. Book club core.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I was going to say, you're kind of, it feels like you're calling yourself out a little bit just because, how would you know what, a repeat attendee at a bookstore talk?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I go to these talks. Yeah, I go to these talks and I look around and I'm all these people look extremely fashionable people because it's a weird mix of normcore, Western wear, Patagonia. It's all that rolled into one crunchy kind of look. Yeah.
That's really interesting because it's like you're going out, but are you really going out? It's almost in this kind of middle of these two activities that are just if you're just going to a library, it's whatever. And if you're going out, maybe you naturally gravitate to dressing in a certain way. But
I mean, Jeremy said tweed sport coats with Reeboks, and Reeboks look extremely book core. I mean, that's
I live
the book core. that's the Bukor sneaker brand of choice.
I think there's something else too that's really funny that you mentioned, because I know a lot of friends that are in the industry and they write all about Balenciaga and they talk about all these, and look, a part of it is them doing their job, but the people that know the most about fashion and that I'm friends with, I would argue that on paper they would never write about their own style because it is extremely the same and maybe book core, right? Like that. I mean, it's like boring, you know, like I know all the homies that wear all the, you know, that are talking about and they're dressing this person and they're styling that shoot and they're all wearing jeans, you know, Vans, a t-shirt and like a chambray every day. That's what they've been wearing for a decade.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. Also on designers will introduce like an amazing collection. And then when they come out for the applause, they're always extremely simply dressed. I mean, like,
why do they Raph never at least wear the season? Can't they, like, can't Raph come out and one of the pieces too? And someone can be like, oh, it's cool that Raph wears it. But he comes out and he's like hands on his mouth and a black t-shirt and black pants.
Yeah.
Cop
they're
out.
Always incredibly simply dressed. And it's also the only designer that I can think of that really goes all out is Marc Jacobs. He's often photographed wearing crazy outfits, but everybody else is like dressed extremely simply. Even when they're not on the runway, when you just see photographs of them, they look very normally dressed.
That's very true.
I gotta imagine it's like a super intense process, right? Like it's just kind of the culmination of a season, but like every detail matters, and maybe it's like they don't want to crowd their thoughts with, like, I don't know. It's like
Rick Owens also obviously wears his stuff like to the full extent. But
that's true.
I think
Tom Brown.
Rick and Mark Jacobs are right. Tom Brown.
Yeah.
My theory's falling apart.
No, well, I called my friend out on this and he was like, well, I can't worry about what I'm going to wear because I spend all my time dressing other people. And I was like, that's the lamest excuse I've ever heard in my life. I was like, come on, bro. I was like, you have access. You can do all that stuff. I mean, I think that's happened a bunch to me. There was a time when I was working with a lot of clients and the amount of like free clothes I could get was an absurd amount. And I was paralyzed by the options because it was stuff that I would never be able to afford. Like, you know, and so I would force myself to wear something and then try to base some outfit around it. And I think that's probably one of the, you know, to kind of tie this into a bow here is like some of the thing that's happened from the pandemic is because we're somewhat secluded, we are rubbing elbows with a lot of people, but it's just digitally. And so you don't get to see, you only see what, you know, is being shown to you. Like I'm not spending a bunch of time around a bunch of super fashionable people and I'm catching things that I didn't think I would catch. You know, I just see their fit pick. And that's it. And so now I'm like, you know what? Like I'm gonna just kind of dress for me versus dressing to, you know, try to impress someone or something like that. I'm just like, fuck it. No more. No more penny loafers. I'm sure it looks cooler. I'm sure it looks great with the white socks and I can do the whole dressing down thing, but I'm grabbing the Mephistos. I'm grabbing the like arch support shoes and everyone else, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm wondering if
extremely Bukor.
Yeah. There you go.
Fisto is even more Bukor than Reebok.
Well, I got it all.
You were saying? Yeah.
Yeah, oh, comfort shoes. Yeah, we could totally talk about comfort shoes, but so one of my question here is like if 2020 was the year of sweatpants, how will we remember 2021 from like kind of just a style perspective or like what sort of attributes of style speak to us? But it kind of feels,
you know,
like we're answering that question a little bit.
I've been reading Kennedy Fraser's book, A Fashionable Mind. She wrote about fashion for The New Yorker, and A Fashionable Mind is a collection of her essays about clothing for The New Yorker. And the intro starts, the intro to the book is just her talking about when she first signed up to be The New Yorker fashion writer. And she was assigned to be the fashion writer for The New Yorker, I think, in the 1970s. And she said at the time when she was assigned, she felt that clothing had become totally democratic, that that, you know, fashion was no longer dictated from the top, and there was all this like groundswell of democratic movements and people wearing what they want. And the intro reminded me of Kathy Horn's essay, I think in The Cut, or it may have been the New York Times, called The End of Trends, which I often refer back to. That was published, I think, in 2015, 2014, where Kathy Horn said that the internet has made it possible for there to no longer be trends, that people are just dressing according to their own kind of like subcultural group. But when you look back at the 1970s, the 1980s, and the 1990s, and even 2015, you can see trends. I think it's just hard when you do end of year reviews to really say what was the trend. I think it's much easier because absolutely, if you ask people how did people dress in the 70s, I mean, even people who aren't interested in clothes can describe it. I think it takes some distance to say what was the trend for that year. I mean, if I had to think of something, I'd say 1970s sleaze and Western wear was probably big this year. But I probably won't know until like 5 or 10 years from now where I get to say, oh yeah, like that's the thing that everyone was obsessed with. And in hindsight, it was kind of weird.
Right.
It's just that when you're so close to it, it seems normal. It's sort of like...
Want to hear the rest? Join us over on Patreon. You'll hear this episode and tons more exclusive pods. From the return of Sid Mashburn, we got Michael Hill of Drakes, Chris Gibbs of Union, Ilari Urbanati. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. And more importantly, you get access to our private, members-only Slack group where we chat about menswear and everything else. So visit patreon.com/blammo, and we'll see you there.